Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, welcome into the Lake Show on this snowy Thursday. News Talk 830 WCCO. Every college coach in America should look at the state of college athletics right now, and this should be a wake-up call. This exact moment in college athletics should be a wake-up call. And we'll get to Kevin Garnett and other stuff a little bit later, because I know that's one of the top talkers. But I know Jason and Dan were just talking about that. But I want to start with this, I hope, wake-up call for college coaches. Because the fallout from last week's firing at the University of Michigan with their head coach, Sherrone Moore, is hopefully something that every coach is paying attention to. Coaches should not have the "it'll never happen to me" type attitude, because that will definitely get you in trouble. And I bring this up because big time sports and big time money brings a lot of power and a lot of scrutiny. And most importantly, responsibility. And right now, if you are a head coach at whatever level, you need to know that you are under the microscope. Last week, it was Sherrone Moore. Today, it is Brian Smith. He was fired yesterday from Ohio University. He was the head football coach there. And he has been fired because he admitted to having an affair with an undergraduate student, according to records obtained by USA Today. He was terminated for cause, and he had been placed on leave going back to December the 1st. He's accused of carrying on a relationship with a student on campus at Ohio University and has been dismissed. I bring this up because I'm not going to sit here and say that I'll be shocked if somebody else gets caught in the near future. But you would think that every coach right now should be smart, should understand the climate, and understand that this is the easiest way to justify firing your ass, getting you out of the university if you're not winning. Because we know this about sports. If you're putting up banners, winning national championships, and you're winning your conference, they're going to give you a little bit more leeway. Let's just call for what it is. I'm not sitting here saying that if you are a Hall of Fame resume coach or if you're winning national championships, that you should be allowed to take advantage of the undergrads on campus. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the reality of life is that the more successful you are, you're going to get away with more. People will turn their eyes away from you when they feel like something doesn't feel right here, but they won the conference back-to-back years. They seem a little bit cozy, but I'm going to turn the other cheek and not pay attention to it. This is, I don't care if you are coaching in the Big Ten or you're coaching in the Big Sky. Like, you've got to wake up and understand that right now, if there's been ever a time in college athletics where you have to know you're not going to get away with this stuff, it's right now. 651-461-9226. And think about this. These individuals, because they're likely not going to be the last ones to get caught up in this. They're definitely not the first. But this stuff has been going on for some time. And look, I get it and I understand that this is college athletics we're talking about. But in every type of job type scenario with big corporations, small business, whatever in life, you're going to have extramarital affairs. We get that. We understand it. And it's not just powerful men taking advantage. It's women too. Heck, what was it, a decade ago? One of the former coaches, she was the head coach at LSU on the basketball side. There was an accusation that she was having an inappropriate relationship with like a former player, and she was booted from LSU. Mind you, the reigning national champions in college basketball right now, the Florida Gators, and it was found, the way that they described it was, they found no evidence that he violated Title IX. But the University of Florida, the current head coach, Todd Golden, they did a four-month investigation last year that included allegations of sexual harassment, sexual exploitation, stalking, and cyber-stalking from multiple women, including students. This is at the Florida, University of Florida, and they won it all last year. I'm not saying that he's guilty of anything, but that investigation took place. And so, will this be the last that we hear of this? Probably not. But should these individuals understand you need to be on the straight and narrow? Yes. Because right now, it's never been acceptable, but currently right now, you're on the hot seat. And they should know better.
I wonder how much of this, it's kind of tough, in my opinion, to look at somebody and say, we're going to fire you for having an extramarital affair. If this is with an underage student, I understand. If this person is an 18-year-old, is technically an adult, they're an undergrad, but they're technically an adult, is that a fireable offense?
Yes.
Okay.
If you are a big-time college head coach on a campus, mm-hmm. with the power that you wield, okay, you cannot, as a married man, be having relations with undergraduate students, whether they're a freshman or if they're a senior.
Would it be different if they were an adult that was not affiliated with the university?
I would view it differently. And people can weigh in. I'd love to hear from if how you like what is
and for the record, like, I'm saying no affairs are good. I'm just trying to figure out like
that.
What is acceptable?
So let me say this. I believe that there are differences, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I do think that there are differences. Okay, and so if this is hypotheticals here with Brian Smith.
Yeah,
if this was an extramarital affair with somebody that did not work for the university or wasn't a student,
mm-hmm.
let's just say it's you know the head of a marketing firm, and this person was you know whatever, like a little bit older.
Sure.
It's not good, right, having the affair,
mm-hmm.
but I would view it differently. I think that's different than having sex with a student.
Do you feel like...
I give you a perfect example.
Okay.
And this guy actually has a job again. I think that what Brian Smith has just done in terms of having sex with an undergraduate student, I think is worse than Rick Pitino having sex in that restaurant... Right with that woman. That He had the affair with the older woman.
Yep.
Not older as in she was older than him, but they're roughly about the same age.
Yes.
He's married. She's married.
She's married.
They're at a restaurant. The restaurant is shut down and they're back in some room
that's
having sex.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it came up. That was one of the things that led to his dismissal at Louisville.
Right.
Amongst other things. But I view that differently than him having sex with an undergrad at Louisville.
Because of the influence that he wields at the university.
Because of the position that he has at the university amongst staffers and students.
Okay. Okay.
If Rick Pitino is the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers and he has sex with an executive from Target, that's different.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's good, but it's different to me.
Okay. I don't know if I'm out of pocket for bringing this up too. If it's an executive in a corporation, in a corporate setting, let's just say hypothetically, because you brought up Target.
We're taking this out of sports, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. So let's say, and again, there's no proof to any of this is actually happening. But if there's a senior executive at Target that has an affair with, say...
Or Best Buy or Walmart, wherever.
Yeah. If they have an affair with a subordinate or somebody from one of their stores, is that the same thing? Because they wield power within their organization as well.
Yes. It would. Now, let me say this.
I understand sports are a different beast because everybody looks up and they revere the head coaches.
And we're talking sports because it's timely. This is another story. These are things that have happened.
I mean, twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. In terms of viewing it, all of the cheating is we understand is not good.
It's wrong.
I mean, I feel a little bit hypocritical because I feel like it's. I guess that's no different. To answer your question, I guess that would be no different because we actually talked about this on the side last week when the Moore stuff came up. It was me, Dan Cook, and Jason DeRussia at the end of a show. So, yeah, it's all bad.
Okay. And when you are the football coach, there are few programs at schools that are more of the that are no more influential than football.
Because football is the biggest revenue generator.
Absolutely. Yes. It's football and men's basketball. And lest I say it's a 1A and a 2. Like, it's football is king no matter what. So if coaches have been doing this since the beginning of time, because you and I actually mentioned a name beforehand, that it reminded me of one that when I moved to Columbia, I was morbidly curious about kind of where everything went down.
Well, the Larry Eustace.
With Larry Eustace.
Him hanging out.
With some of the co-eds in Columbia,
pictures get out about him with the co-eds.
Yes. Yeah, because when I moved to Columbia back in 2004, of course, this is after the Larry Stacey, former men's basketball coach at Iowa State. I think he's actually got to talk about somebody else that's got other job. But the first thing I wanted to know when I moved there, I'm like, I want to go to the Big 12, which is this bar in downtown Columbia, because I wanted to go to the same place that Larry Eustace got caught. I don't know why. I was just like, I'm here, I'm young, I'm single, I want to see where Larry Eustace was hanging out. And yeah, I mean, it's gross, it's disgusting, it's happened before, and it's going to continue to happen.
All right, 651-461-9226, if you'd like to chime in. I'm going to get to a couple of texts, and we'll do that next, after a break, right here on The Late Show.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, the text line weighing in from the 952, it's a fireable offense if it reflects poorly on your employer. I think that universally, cheating on your wife and it gets out is going to be a bad reflection on yourself personally and your employer if it's starting to make the rounds and people get, you know, wind of it.
Yeah, I don't know. General. I mean, I understand where the text is coming from, but I just don't know. Like, a company can't police all of your actions at all times.
No,
so,
no,
I mean, you have to be responsible for being an adult.
It's not. No. It's not that I don't. That's not how I take this. I don't take this as your employer has to know every single thing of your life and what you do every single time. I think what ends up happening is people, whether it's right or wrong, and I'm not saying that it's right to do this, but if people start to question and say, well, what is the culture of what's going on at said company, then that reflects poorly just in general. And I'm not saying it's right that we view it that way, because to me, it sticks to the person that perpetrated the action.
Gotcha. And you know, when it comes to Bryan Smith, the two words that Ohio said in their statement was for cause.
Yep.
And that's the key in the whole thing. For cause allows no liability.
Yep. And then the other texter here from the 612 says, legally, if it's not a part of his contract that he has to abide by moral and ethical standards, then what he did, while not moral or ethical, would not violate his contract, and I think he would have a case. When you are a head coach in college athletics, the stuff is baked in that way. You're not going to, I don't think there's any college in America where you are supposed to be a leader of men or women where you're not, I get what you're saying, where there's not going to be that in the contract. You are supposed to represent the college and university in a certain manner, and that absolutely falls under, you don't do that.
Yeah, and to me, I love that text. I do, because I
me
think
too.
Because contracts can have words and clauses in them. I think we've all had contracts where, you know, it's funny where you're like, hey, you got to read the contract. No, you really have to read the contract, because there are clauses and outs as well. There are little things, like you said, are baked in. But if there is something that is worded, then obviously it you know, there's no liability on the part of the university, and they can use the for cause to relieve their football coach of his job.
And look, let's just be clear here. We understand that in society, that lust is always going to be a thing. Now, and when we think of lust and affairs and stuff like that, people tend to think, in this type of way, they think about men, right?
I think historically people look at like men are the cheaters.
The stereotype is that it's across the board, man. Female CEOs, same thing, right?
But do you think it's viewed more poorly on men if a man cheats? It's viewed more poorly than a woman cheats? Because I feel like to go along with the stereotype, I feel like if a man cheats, and I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying I think there's a perception, maybe I'm wrong, that if you're a man and you cheat, you're a dog. But if you're a woman and you cheat, Well, then obviously there had to be some validation behind why she stepped out on her relationship.
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't. I think that if a woman cheats and she gets caught, she gets just as much, if not more, than
really?
Than a man. Absolutely.
Oh, see, I don't.
Because she is basically called the S word, and that's a four letter word,
right?
And men
rhymes with rut.
It's what they do. So there's so much temptation.
So you're saying that it's harder for a man to go out there and resist temptation.
No, not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I think that it's not viewed, that men are viewed less favorably than women. I think that they both get the scrutiny that they deserve, but I think it is probably a little bit more harsher on a woman than a guy. Because we have these baked in thoughts and ideas and ideologies that, you know what, with the power that men get, sometimes they get caught up in it's what they do.
It's just a guy thing. It's meant, yeah.
Yep.
I can understand that.
We've been told that you just grab them by the...
I mean, that's what I've been doing my entire life. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
651-461-9226. One of the big stories of the day that we have to get to is the issue of fraud here in Minnesota. More so. It continues to be an issue. It continues to be a problem. And today, the U.S. Attorney, Joe Thompson, he had a news conference addressing fraud. I want to talk about that, as well as some national politics with Jeff Hayden, former Minnesota state senator. He joins us in studio next on The Late Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, you see him on Almanac, you hear him on this show, you hear him on the morning news of Vanita Sakar. He's everywhere. And he's back with us here in studio. Jeff Hayden joining us here.
Yes, sir. Good to see you.
Former member of the Senate here in Minnesota, News Talk 830 WCCO. First off, happy holidays, man.
Yeah,
it's been about
holidays,
a month
man.
Or so since we've seen you.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. It's good to see you. I was telling you I did music for the holidays yesterday. Senator Champion founded that for the community to be able to have this really great show. But I also got a chance to go to Dakota for a brother named Jose James.
Ooh.
Grew up in South Minneapolis,
okay.
37th of Bloomington, South High graduate, started busking at the Mayday Cafe. Now he's doing sold-out shows. He's doing two nights at the Dakota, or he did two nights, so I got a chance to see him. Dope.
Really?
Yeah, I'll make sure you guys hear it. Jose James, heard it here.
You got to put me
yeah,
up
man,
on
good
that.
Times around here, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you and yours. I wanted to start with, because we'll expand out nationally, but I want to start locally. And I know that we aired a good portion of it earlier today when the press conference was being led by U.S. Attorney mm-hmm. Joe Thompson, and it was revolving around more charges with regards to fraud in the
yes.
state. And I got to tell you, man, it's ugly.
It's ugly.
It's ugly.
Moogly. Moogly, baby. Yeah.
It is ugly.
Ain't no way around it.
I mean, when you start hearing about people out of state taking advantage of us, when you start hearing about autism program, I mean.
Fraud tourism, man.
Yes,
Cass is coming here for that.
Fraud tourism.
Wow.
So I bring this up because we know that that is the number one thing that everybody looks to Governor Walz, and they're saying, this happened on your watch.
Sure.
This is ugly. This is unacceptable. Sure. We have been taken advantage of. And when you are the top dog, when you are the face, you have to take that criticism. You have to have some sort of accountability with that. Because that's the number one thing going into this next election.
No doubt about it.
My first question of several with this topic is, I know that last week he spoke and he talked about formulating this new he hired somebody else and they're formulating a new thing with regards to fraud and to kind of break all this stuff down. Do you think to this point that Governor Tim Walz has accepted responsibility for how wide-ranging and how bad the fraud has been?
You know, I think that that is a nuanced conversation, so I'm not going to pull my political hat out, which is to say that I think that the governor believes that he put in the steps along the way in order to monitor fraud, in order to put the, he put together a, you know, kind of an internal group that took all of the, you know, inspector generals and the BCA, and he put that together, but it didn't work. It wasn't enough. So I think he thinks that he was doing the things that he needed to do. Because here's what he had. However, let me just hard stop there to say I don't believe that people believe that he's done enough and that he's taken enough accountability.
For sure.
So I'm saying two things at once. I think that he believes that he was doing his job is to try to prevent the fraud. But here's where the governor's dilemma is. Because if you watch the hearing yesterday, Kristen Robbins, they have a fraud and a waste and abuse committee in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Well, what happened was you started hearing from the people, obviously, who cares about fraud and all the money's going out the door. But you also started hearing from the people from the disability community and others that because of the fraud and the restrictions that were put on it, some of those programs stopped. Others are going through these hard reviews. They're waiting 90 and 120 days before they pay them to ensure that the people who's asking for the money is valid. But that means that the people, the disabled, the most vulnerable people in our community aren't getting the money, the legit folks. So now he's getting yelled at by them folks. So if you think of the governor, you're like, okay, I got a problem. Fraud is going out the door. I got to figure this out. But I got to sort through meticulously how do I get and go after those that aren't doing what they're supposed to do, try to stop money out the door, prosecute them if they do. Same time, I got to find out the good people and get that money to them so that people who on these waiver services, elderly, you might be vent dependent, you might need a PCA. There's a whole litany of folks. Your child really does have autism. You really do have this food program. I need to figure out how to get the money to them. So when I make a hard stop, all of a sudden now I'm cutting off the flow of the money, but I'm also getting all of these other people who deservedly and need the services are saying, whoa, wait a minute. Now you're starving me out, right?
Yep.
So he has to take accountability for it to get this far. But as you clean it up, it's not simply just turn it off or on the faucet because there are other people on the other end of that who actually need the services.
This is the reason why I wanted to start there was because now I want to ask about, because in my opinion, I believe that if we go through and we look at all the candidates, everybody's on the ballot, whatever, and you vote, I think he would win. Okay, I think he would win today. But when you have press conferences like today, where they keep uncovering more stuff, and it becomes more expansive, that cloud continues to, you know, hover over him, and it comes across as extremely negative. So with all that being said, because I think that people probably next week will think, depending on who you are, if you're trying to figure out, well, I don't know where I'm going to go, who I'm going to vote for, whatever. I'm not necessarily a lefty. I'm not necessarily a righty. I don't want to deal with, you know, maybe a MAGA candidate or whatever that have questions. I think that the viewpoint of him as a candidate going for a third term will look in some people's eyes as I'm not trying to do this again because this thing just continues to be never ending. But with all that said, I just don't think that there's anybody that has shown themselves to this point to be a legitimate person to knock him off. So my second question would be, from the people that have thrown their names in there, has there been anybody that stands out to you at this particular point?
Well, here's what I think that they have to do. So, you know, Speaker Lisa Damith, mm-hmm. right? She's yep. the Speaker of the House in St. Cloud, the first African-American person as the Speaker. She's a conservative Republican. She tells you she's there because of her merit and the work she does, and I work there, and she's totally capable. Chair Robbins, Kristen Robbins from Maple Grove, who's the one that runs that task force. Kendall Qualms, the business man from the western suburbs. Mike Lindell has a, I would like him or not, Mr. Pillow Man, but
him.
He's got 100% name recognition, yeah. right? Chris Mandel, who, you know, is the prominent attorney that has really gone in on some of the issues that he's had with government. You know, he's got to figure out how he articulates how he supported Democrats in the past, but I won't go into every one of those resumes. Here's what they have to do, every one of them. They not only can say, here's why you shouldn't vote for Walz, and here's the issue of fraud, they have to articulate what is their vision.
That's what I've been saying.
How will they
That's
stop
what I've been
it?
Saying.
What would they do? So Representative Greenman and others in the fraud committee then started to say to Representative or Chair Robbins, hey, wait a minute, you've pointed out the issue. We get it. But then what pieces of legislation are you proposing so that people remember we still got to give out these services for people who need us? So how can we sort through that and cut off the folks that that are taking the money? So they got to start to figure out what is it that they need to do. The other thing I will say for the Republican Party, and this is as objective as a good old Democrat can possibly can, but, you know, so I say that, you know, because people know, but people know at the Capitol that I don't play those games when I go to work, is you have to, the relationship to the president is something that they have to figure out. The president's numbers are in the tank. The things that he is saying about the dehumanizing things that he said about the folks in the Somali community, people don't like, no matter who it is. You got Republicans. Jim Abler prominently has sent a letter to the White House saying, please don't say that.
Yeah, he was on stage with Chad Harmon a couple weeks ago.
I got Republican friends saying that. So they don't want to be attached to that dehumanizing language. President Trump doesn't seem to give a nothing. You know, I'll be careful here on the air. He don't care nothing about what you think. He's going to say what he's going to say. So now, and I do believe that everybody's watching this immigration enforcement. I don't care if you're in Lakeville or South Minneapolis or in Duluth. The way in which they're handling people, the way in which they're dragging the things, we have that PTSD of George Floyd, and we don't like that kind of stuff. So you have to now figure out, Walz, clearly we've identified his baggage, but there's baggage on the other side, too, that you have to differentiate yourself to get that middle group of people that you talked about.
Yep. Jeff Hayden in studio joining us here on the Late Show News Talk, 830 WCCO. Let me say this. I'm going to make a statement, and I want just your opinion on my thought here. With regards to just fraud in general in the state of Minnesota, that is the thing that Governor Walz is being hammered on locally, statewide, and he's also being hammered on it nationally with Donald Trump, right? Because he's put the Somali community and all that stuff in the crosshairs. I think that though people, and this is typically people that are anti-Tim Walz, to make the commentary or to make it seem as though Governor Tim Walz has been promoting fraud or just turning his head away from fraud when it's been in his face or anything like that, whatever. I think that those people that talk like that or think like that, they are being disingenuous about the conversation.
Yeah, that's a political talking point. You know, listen, you could suggest that the governor should have been more focused on this. There were 100%. Things that he wanted to do. You know, he finally got this kind of, you know, czar, if you call it. You know, there's been a bunch of us, including myself, that has talked about, you know, like when it was PPE, you had somebody that was a crisis, they were the person you went to, right? If it's homelessness. So this was rose to that level. He might have been a little late for people's liking on it. And the person who we got, by the way, his name escapes me, he worked as the DPS commissioner in the Pawlenty administration, right? Mm-hmm. This is when you see him talk, this is a real Elliot Ness kind of looking guy. He's going to go where the evidence takes him. That might be a little too late for people, but he is doing that. I think the governor wanted to do it, but he also was so super sensitive of the folks that were getting it. Here's the elephant in the room, though, that I don't, and I'll be careful here, but I don't think that people acknowledge as much. Unfortunately, the large good majority of the names that come out on the fraud tend to be in the Somali community. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting that all of the Somali community is in on the fraud game, because I don't believe that they are. In any scheme, there's 5 or 10% of the people on the block, Henry, growing up. It was only a house or two that was really acting up, ruining it for the whole neighborhood.
Exactly,
right?
Yep.
But in any scheme, that is it. However, the actors, including today, with the exception of the cats from Philadelphia,
yeah.
I don't know how their brothers got
yeah.
here.
Fraud, anyway, fraud yeah, isn't fraud
yeah,
tourism.
Yeah, it was like, you know, a Muslim name and then like... Tyrone Smith.
Yeah, it was
like,
some Peterson or something. Yeah, yeah, here? Brown or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, like, hey, man, where did these guys come from? So I was watching it. But anyways, the point is that I think that and the recognition of that, recognizing of that, had a tough time for people, especially here in Minnesota, to be able to say, hey, this community's got a problem, or members of this community seem to be exploiting their own community. Because let's be clear that the victims in this largely would be people in the East African community.
Absolutely.
Because that's who they were signing up and trying to kick back and doing that. So it's kind of like, and we understand that, Henry, being African American, it's like we get it both ways. When we talked about police, we'd be like, hey, if the police aren't doing what they're supposed to and they hitting us over the head, at the same time, we need the police because sometimes the brothers is over here not doing and shooting
yeah.
up the block as well.
Yeah.
So they got that same type of thing going
yep.
on that we have to be able to recognize. And I think it was hard for people to call that out until it got elevated nationally. And the national folks don't have that Norwegian, Scandinavian sensibility. They just gonna call it as they see it.
Yeah, I'm in the hood and I'm telling my cousins and my cousins stuff. Well, what are y'all doing over here, man? We can't be doing this
right.
nonsense over here. And then I walk like a couple blocks away, and then I see Charlie Adams, and I see the officers, and they're like, hey, man, like, what you know about what they doing up there? You know what I'm saying?
Right? You know what I'm saying? Or the other dudes show up, and they ain't asking no questions. They just hitting you over the head.
Exactly.
So you're getting it coming and going, and that's what's happening in that community.
Yeah.
And so I think that we have to be – I think that this is an inflection point for us to be able to have real conversation. And I don't care if it's the far left or the right and not demonize each other. Let's have that conversation. And when I was in the legislature, I worked on Health and Human Service. I started to see some things that I thought were questionable.
Yeah.
And I used to deal with that. Senator Abel and I worked on a bill one time around child care where we just thought there were too many child care centers where the moms were watching their own children. I took it as, hey, we need to get you, right, the credentials that you need so you can teach your children. Shout out to the YWCA Minneapolis, Shelly Carlton Watson, you know her very well. She has a curriculum that helps young women, mostly, or young men if they want, learn how to be early childhood educators. So I tried to go that way to say, if you're going to open these up, make sure that your kids are going to do well. But what happens is far too often it was a ring that was happening and that exploded.
And I'm not sitting here saying that there's no accountability with Governor Tim Walz. That's not the point that I'm making. But I think that the overarching thing that we need to remember and understand is that if anything that people are talking about with the state of Minnesota is that there were people here that took advantage of us.
Absolutely.
Some of our own people took advantage of us. If the guilty part is we're too nice here in Minnesota and we give and we care about people way too much, then that's what the guilty part is. But to act as though like, oh, everybody's turning their heads away and they're just letting all this stuff I
don't believe it. It's
yeah.
no more than somebody than a psychiatrist who overbilled, or, you know, we've seen Medicaid fraud is not a new thing. It happens all around everywhere. We've seen it in Florida. We've seen it in West. When the pills are coming out and the oxycodone and they were shoving them pills out the pill factories, this stuff was happening. However, the other part that we're not talking about, and that the governor's going to have to try to, if he can get through this, is all the great things that he's done, right? It is a great place for kids to live. The family tax credits, paid family leave is coming online for those who don't have paid family leave, right? That's coming on in January. There are a ton of great things. We are now feeding every single child at school every day. Kids don't go hungry. They get breakfast and lunch. That has done a great thing for children. That's usually where their biggest meal comes from. I could go through a litany of things that I think that under the Walz administration that he's done well. Unfortunately, we do gravitate to the negative. So people are going to have to reset and figure it out. I'll just say this to cap it off. I think that the early on race is going to be fraud versus Trump.
Yep.
The Democrats are going to really talk about President Trump, the economy, things that are happening, his behavior, and Republicans are going to really talk about fraud.
Coming up next, let's talk about some national items, and we'll start with President Donald Trump. We'll do that next year with Jeff Hayden on The Late Show. All right, another segment with Jeff Hayden in studio. Let's broaden it out nationally. You had the 20-minute speech from President Donald Trump last night. What were your takeaways from that? Because what I thought was going to happen was going to be him 20 minutes of him talking about me, and just putting out a bunch of false information. Let me ask you this. Not just that, what was your takeaway? But also, I thought the tone was kind of a little bit, because, and a lot of people talked about this in the post-talk analysis, of just him, like, talking to everyone, like, in a tone of being angry, and he's yelling.
Yeah, you know.
What do you read into that?
Well, first of all, it always is like, it's like a parody. Like, you don't always know if you're watching Saturday Night Live or real. For me, you know what I mean? Because the way that he operates, it's like, you know, Saturday Night Live is parody, and it's over the top, and it's, and that's kind of how he operates. And you're like, yo, what is this all about? Secondly, someone said it, and I thought it was good. Like, there was no comma in the speech. There was no period.
Yeah, you know, you're a journalist.
You guys are writers. So they just, you know, when they write those speeches, they give you time to, you know, pause, to make your point. And it was just this kind of rambling deal. The other thing is, like, the idea that he's still, like, talking about Joe Biden when he is, you know, overwhelmingly 100%. Got elected, he's a year in, and he's 100%. Still trying to suggest, even though the numbers that he used are false in terms of when Biden left, but the idea that he's trying to still deflect to Joe. And then the last thing is, someone said this, and they said one of the things that Joe didn't get the chance to see is, you know, like, the stock market was doing good. That was the indicator of the economy, but people were doing bad, and Joe just couldn't make that connection. And, you know, regardless if it was his time, his age, he's insulated. If it appears objectively that President Trump is missing the same thing, that people all over this country are paying a lot of money for eggs, a lot of money for food, a lot of money for gas. The rural areas are struggling because of the tariffs. Nebraska's ready to go bankrupt, and maybe even, you know, other states, because they can't sell their goods. The beef farmers are upset because you might do it with Argentina, maybe, maybe not, right? Looks like you're beginning to start a war.
Not holding yourself accountable about the tariffs.
You know, you're saying that it's going to work. So the idea that he is disconnected from the everyday person who voted for him, you know, even the point that he's tearing down the White House and putting up this gilded air, you know, ballroom, he's renaming the Kennedy Center after himself, right? It feels like people have seen this before, and it feels like he is so insulated from everyday people, that everyday working class, low income person who felt like, you know, that the Democrats had become too elitist and didn't understand what they needed and was focused on things except for the bread and butter issues. It appears that President Trump, though he's not focused on the wedge issues that the Democrats are, that he's focused on, and what he can see is what's directly in front of him. And the tone sounds like, and I know this is a cliche for the Democrats, no kings, but the tone does really sound like anybody who you've been around in power that doesn't have people around them that can tell him the truth. I thought, and I just lost her name, his chief of staff's interview, though they said it was out of context.
Wiles.
Her assessment of them, in or out of context, I think was actually spot on in terms of what's going on in there. So I think that this administration is really losing its footing. And let me say this, all over the country, Democrats are making up, it started in Virginia, in New Jersey, even in Tennessee, the 7th congressional district that he won by 22 points, they only won by 8 or 9, right? Like all of Miami, because of the Cuban population,
the mayor,
said they won the first Democratic mayor. So every indication that you're seeing is that people are, as much as they're looking for sensible, smart, pragmatic people to run, and Democrats put that up, but what they are saying is that they made a mistake. Here's the other thing, and I don't know if you're going to get to this now, but let me know, the ACA.
No, let's get to it. I want to get to it. Dive right in.
That's the time bomb.
Let's go with ACA.
That's the ticking time bomb.
I'm going to let you cook.
Because the ACA is the individual market. So these are people who don't get their health care. They either make too much money to get it from Medicaid, right, or they don't get it from their employer like we do, right? So they got to go get it on the individual market, in the small group market. That's a lot of rural people, a lot of farmers, a lot of small farms, right? A lot of our entrepreneurs. I got a friend who's in government relations. She gets it. She's got two kids and a husband, and she doesn't know what she's going to do. She may have to go join, and she's phenomenal. She does great work. She's making money, but all of her profits will be ate up because she'll have to pay health care because she can't get the subsidy. This is affecting everybody. And what happens, and the bottom line on that, is that people either got to pay their health care and not pay something else, or they don't pay their health care, they don't get a checkup, and they show up to the ER and they're very sick, and the hospitals have to take them, and that will be the next bailout and the next explosion. This is going to hurt a lot of people and a lot of Trump voters.
All right, so one of the things, and let me make this clear, because after he spoke last night, and I hopped back on the air and I talked about just kind of the lunacy of it all. The thing that some people do is they'll hop on the text line and say, Lake, every night you're railing against Trump and you're saying this every week and all. And quote me, I don't care that you don't like my takes on Trump, because I will not normalize what is going on.
That's right.
I will not normalize racism.
Nope.
I will not normalize sexism.
Nope.
I will not normalize the crazy things that are taking place. And I will not normalize us as Americans being disrespected and lied to on a daily basis. I can't do it. You can't look me in my face and tell me that you're going to lower drug prices by 600%. We're not dumb.
Don't believe your lying eyes. Here's what I said. All people have to do is look at their pocketbooks. Go back to their bank statements. As a matter, just go look at what's happening, and that way the whole gaslighting thing goes away. Just look at what is going on and don't get overwhelmed with all the rhetoric that they see. The other problem is social media and the algorithms, and I'll leave it at this. It feeds you a steady dose of the of the stuff that you want to see, and you don't get this alternative opinion. So thank you, Henry, for giving your take, because there's probably a lot of listeners who don't get that on a daily basis.
Yeah. Did you help get Dan Bongino out? What was that? Like he just exited. He must know something.
Peace out.
That's exactly. He must know something, man. He must know something. Hey, brother, always a pleasure to have you.
This is great. I love it, man.
In studio breaking it down.
Baby.
Happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays to all of you guys.
And I'll be talking to you soon. That's Jeff Hayden joining us in studio. Coming up next, we talk some Vikings with the Purple Insider himself, Matthew Collar, on The Lake Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.